everything that Apple just announced at their October event.
Press the prettiest little phone you ever saw.
And I'm going to look up words on my Apple Watch.
With friends, it's time for iOS Today.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
iOS Today is brought to you by Privacy.com. Stop using the same card number everywhere. Use Privacy virtual cards and get a $5 credit off your first purchase. Learn more and sign up in under a minute with your debit or checking account at privacy.com/iOS. Woohoo! iOS Today time. We've been up all night waiting for the new iPads.
I was up all night. What are we going to get? What are we going to
get? And they're finally here.
Well, they're not really. You just paid for them. So now you're in that state where you've paid for them, but you don't have them.
Yeah. That's a terrible state to be in. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hello, Leo Laporte.
So Megan and I came in a little bit early because Tim Cook was in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Mr. Cook visits Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Academy of Music, where Apple announced they started with Macs, which was, I don't know, gratifying for me as a Mac lover. New MacBook Air and new Mac Mini, as we had expected. And then they got to the meat of the matter. Mm-hmm. Two new iPad Pros. Mm-hmm.
It was exciting that they started with Macs, but then, as you pointed out later, that's because that's the past.
If they'd ended with a Mac, it would have been anticlimactic. It would be like, let down.
Yes. So iPads are our future.
I think so that was my conclusion. You agree?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I said, teach them well and let them lead the way.
Twice. They pointed out that the new iPad Pros are faster than 92% of all portable PCs, asterisk, sold this year. Twice they said that. And I think a lot of the other things they showed, for instance, AutoCAD with the desktop engine on an iPad Pro, Adobe Photoshop with virtually all the features of the desktop version on the iPad Pro, Adobe's new augmented reality Aero in a Photoshop, literally moving around inside a Photoshop image on an iPad Pro, and of course a couple of very high-end games. They even compared the iPad Pro to the Xbox One. It really shows, I think, that Apple sees the future from its point of view of computing as the iPad Pro.
Yeah, it's exciting. I think I still, like, we both still have our PCs out with us where we still do our real work, but I think that's mostly just muscle memory.
And it might be. Yeah.
I mean, I know you do powerful stuff on your PC, but I really don't. Not that much. I don't do video editing or anything like that, which I could probably even do on the iPad. But I'm looking forward.
And I think one of the reasons. I believe this is because for years people were saying, well, why doesn't Apple finally add touch to Mac OS as every, even Linux machines have touch often. And certainly all Windows machines now are touch enabled. And Apple's just steadfastly refused to do it. And there's a reason. They have touch on their other computers, mm-hmm. the iPads and the iOS. And I really think that this is the future. The only piece missing at this point is you still need a Mac to develop for the iOS mm-hmm. platform. And I thought maybe they'd announce Xcode. They didn't. That might be for WWDC next June. But I think that will be the final piece of the puzzle. So let's talk a little bit about these iPads. They're really beautiful. The iPad, they did, there's two ways you could handle this bezel-less, this bigger screen. One is you could make a bigger screen on an existing size, or you could make a smaller device with the same size screen, and they did both. On the 10.5-inch iPad Pro, they now call it the 11-inch because it's got an 11-inch screen in the same form factor as the old one. Actually, it's not exactly the same form factor. They've squared the corners, and they've made it thinner, 5.99 millimeters, really, really thin. And then with the big one, the 12.9-inch iPad Pro, they're still keeping it 12.9-inch screen, but they're able to, by reducing the bezels, reduce the overall size of it. They compared it to an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. You're seeing there, if you're watching the video, the new pencil.
sticks to the screen.
No, it doesn't stick to the screen. That would be bad. It has a magnet in it, though.
It's the side of the screen.
It sticks to the top.
So there's so much screen. I guess it's all screen.
It's all screen.
It sticks to the top.
It's got a flat side on the pencil, which is interesting. So now you can engrave it.
Right, which you did.
I did. I bought us each a pencil.
Uh-huh. And mine is engraved with the words dream, comma, girl, which hopefully you watched the us talk about the event.
In the event, Tim Cook was standing in front of somebody using a MacBook or MacBook Pro, and she had a sticker on it in the lower corner that said dream, period, girl, period.
Oh, no, I thought it was dream, comma,
girl. I got period. I hope it wasn't a comma.
Dream.
We'll have to look that up. I might have messed up the punctuation on your engravement.
It's like dream girl.
Dream, not dream girl.
Girl.
Oh, you're right. It would be better with a comma.
And not dream girl. There's a that's a very different
Broadway show. So, and by the way, when they went to Tim, he was standing and it was Tim Cook in front of dream girl big, which I thought was interesting. You'll be able to see that, I'm sure, on one of the tech blogs at some point. So we engraved it. It's flat. It will, I have the Logitech case right now, which has a loop over the top, and I find that a very handy place to put the pencil. I won't need that loop anymore because the pencil will not only magnetically attach to the top of the iPad Pro, but will charge when it's attached there.
Yeah. I have a case that has like a little rubber holder here.
Yeah, it's a sensible place for the pencil.
Yeah, and that's why I had to get a separate case and a separate keyboard. But now you bought us the keyboard, the Apple keyboard, so it's all
Decided to opt for the Folio because it is a full case, right? It's back and the front, and you get the keyboard, which I think is fairly important. Mm-hmm. If you're going to use this as a computer, you got to have a keyboard, I think. So,
did we mention that it has the liquid retina screen?
That's the same screen as on the new 10R. In other words, we didn't want to spring for OLED screens on these because at that size, they're pretty expensive. So you're going to get an LCD screen, but it's our really good liquid retina LCD screen. It's got True Tone, all the features of the original iPad Pros. But it is almost bezel-less. Now, here's an important thing. That means there's no more fingerprint reader or touch or home button. And that's because it's going to use Face ID. And the Face ID camera, I think, I'll have to look at this more closely. It looked like it was on the top underneath where the pencil is, but it works in any orientation. So even upside down, even sideways. So you can hold your iPad. And this is really a relief because we were worried that you'd have to hold it in portrait mode to unlock it and then flip it sideways, but you don't. In fact, if you have a case, you'll be able to keep it in portrait mode and still use it. Face ID will have all the same features as Face ID on the iPhone. You'll have Memojis, for instance, if you want. It'll unlock fast. I think that's a big shift. And then the main thing that they spent time on was the new chip in this, the A12X Bionic. The iPhone XS, XS Max, and XR have the A12 chip Bionic. The A12X is even better, according to Apple. That's where it's faster than 92% of all portable PCs. It has 8 cores in the CPU. Now, always on mobile devices, the way they use these is 4 cores are for, or some number of cores, in the case of Apple, 4 cores are for high-performance applications. They use a lot of battery. They generate a lot of heat. 4 cores are low-energy cores that are used most of the time. That way, you get better battery life. But it sounded like Apple was... It did have that, division of labor, but it also was able to use all 8 cores at once for maximum performance. That's interesting. An 8-core CPU and a 7-core GPU, and they were claiming a lot of performance improvement over the old iPad Pros.
35%.
And even really over the XS and the XS Max. It will have also a special neural engine, so it'll support their machine language kit, Core ML. And storage galore. It starts at 64 gigs. No more 32-gig iPad Pros. 64 gigs. And that 64-gig iPad Pro 11 will be how much money? I forgot. I didn't write it down. $699?
I don't know. That seems low.
There it is right there with smart HDR, Bluetooth 5, face camera, gigabit LTE. By the way, that's an additional $129 as usual. The 12.9-inch $9.99. And those are for 64 gig storage, but it goes all the way up to 1 terabyte. Mm. You can order it as, if you're listening to us now, you can order it, and it will they will start deliveries on Wednesday, November 7th.
And $650 for an iPad Pro, that's not a bad price, too. That's the old one.
For the Pro.
Yeah.
And you'll still be able to buy that. And, of course, they still offer the low-cost iPad for education that they announced earlier this year for $329. So there's a pretty good range of capabilities in the iPad.
You know what it's missing, though?
What?
The headphone jack.
Yeah, we didn't think about that, but Evan is in the studio visiting us, and he mentioned it, and we went, oh, it's also missing the lightning port. They've gone Type-C. That's what the rumor mill said, and it's all Type-C, both for charging, and it can charge an iPhone, so it's two-way charging. You can charge in and charge out. It'll also support video out, and I don't know, but we'll try it. Will it support the eGPUs? It might. That'd be interesting, because that means you really have, again, very much computer-like capabilities on this device. And with 1 terabyte of storage available, although I don't want to price that out. It's going to get you close to 2,000, I would guess, maybe even higher. That means it's a computer. I mean, it really is a computer. It's a touchscreen computer. You buy the Folio, which is for you, $179 for the 11-inch. She's going to get the 11-inch. I'm going to get the 12.9.
$179 for the Folio?
Expensive.
Oh, I thought it was $79.
No, and it's $200 for the portfolio for the 12.9-inch, the Folio keyboard.
Expensive.
Yeah, Apple's a premium price product.
Yeah.
Let's just face it. You can get less expensive laptops and tablets. They also offer a smart keyboard, you know, the standard smart keyboard as well. So there's the smart keyboard Folio.
And so that's what you got, the smart keyboard Folio, and that charges all along the bottom, like the
you know,
pencil?
I don't know if there's a smart connector or not. I presume that they have a smart connector. Wait a minute.
I thought they
there is no smart. Is there? Is that a smart connector? What are we looking at the bottom there with the speakers?
Those are speakers.
Is that the top? I can't tell.
Card.
So, yeah, there's still some question marks. We'll know not next week, unfortunately, because we're going to get them the day after iOS Today next week. But we'll certainly know soon enough, and I'm sure people will report. So new Pencil, new 11-inch iPad Pro, new 12.9-inch iPad Pro. Really, all of your dreams and rumors and wishes were came true on that one. Some people had thought maybe there'd be a lightning port, and we all hoped there'd be a headphone jack. Neither of those in the new iPads. There is a smart connector. There it is. So there is a pogo pins on the bottom.
That's the old one.
Oh, he's erasing the smart connector.
So there's no more smart connector.
Snark connector?
Okay,
we're going to watch this video. This is the announcement video. There's the new size. But let's look at the bottom. The FaceTime camera is on, I don't know where it is.
I love that you put down $5,000 or whatever it was for all of these, and you're not even sure. We're not sure what it has.
Well, we have to get it.
Right, exactly. No matter what it has. Whatever it has,
we'll know. But yeah, this is a very confusing video because they're comparing the old to the new, and it's not clear which is which. That's the pencil attaching. See if they show. The speakers, by the way, they now say have tweeters and woofers in all four orientations.
Okay, what's that? There is something.
There is a connector there.
Yeah.
It does not look like pogo pins.
No.
It looks kind of like an SD card slot. I wonder if that keyboard, it could be just a physical thing to hold the keyboard in place. It could be that keyboard's getting power from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear whether Scooter X says that in the specs they show a smart connector. So
okay,
I will trust you, good, Scooter
good
X.
It was interesting to me that the video of the MacBook Air clearly showed off the headphone jack as the first thing. It was before you even saw the other side, there was a headphone jack. But then they didn't mention.
They swiped it away.
They didn't say anything like that about the iPad.
Yeah.
And I'm also curious why there's not any Face ID in the MacBook Air or any of the MacBooks. That seems like something they could do, but maybe that's their other vision of moving towards.
They did add Touch ID, keyboard,
ID.
Which
yes,
is fine, I think, for a laptop.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah. I mean, with your, you know, with the Windows Surface, you're always kind of like trying to get your face
hello,
in. Like,
Windows hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apple seems to do a better job than that. There is a camera bump, it looks like, on the iPad, the new iPad Pro. And that, by the way, this is the new squared look. If you're looking at the video, you could see it. And there's a little bit of a camera bump. That's a 12-megapixel camera on with HDR Pro. So it sounds like they're finally kind of giving you the same camera that you get, at least in the 10R, not the dual lens camera. Let's see if they show. I don't see a smart connector anywhere, but they've got to if they're going to do that keyboard, the smart keyboard. Let's look at the key features here, the Apple Store. Thinnest iPad ever? Yes. Check that box in on your bingo card. I do love it that Face ID works in all four orientations. That's fantastic. And the power in this is really kind of somewhat remarkable. I think Apple is clearly making a play for the PC market with this iPad. Not just the tablet market, not just the low-end PC market, but the high-end laptop market as well. $799 for the 11-inch display, starting point, of course, add memory, space gray and silver. Add memory, you're going to add dollars. $999 for the 12.9-inch display. Memory sizes of 64, 256, 512, and a terabyte. And I love it that they do offer cellular internet as well in the box. That's important. All-day battery life. It does sound like the battery may not be as big. We'll have to wait for the iFixit teardown because it is a lot thinner case. Maybe not as much battery, but, of course, Apple never talks about the size of the battery. They never really give you specific hours. And that's fair because it really depends so much on how you use it. So very nice. I'm excited. Hi. I think these are, you know, going to be machines that a lot of pros will now start to think, should I get a MacBook Air, or should I get an iPad, mm-hmm. iPad Pro?
Well, we said a lot more about it, but you can watch our special, right?
Yeah, we have the live stream, and that'll be available on our site, twit.tv/specials. Megan and I got up very early just for you.
Mm-hmm. And then
it was 10 a.m. Eastern, but for us, that's 7 a.m. Mm-hmm.
I did a little unboxing video of you doing your iPhone XR. It was very popular on Twitter. Let me find that. So we'll probably do something similar.
I don't even
similar.
Remember that.
You don't remember my unboxing video?
You were looking video? Over my shoulder
it
as I
unboxed
it? It was
probably really the only unboxing video you ever need to see. Let me find this. I tweet a lot.
It was fairly brief. You're a busy little tweeter.
Yeah, here it is. Here we
I
go.
I tweet not there. At all. Here we go. Let's watch. I came in on the day on my day off. That's why I'm wearing a flannel shirt and glasses.
64 gigabytes.
And I did it in English.
There we go. Yeah.
I'd been listening.
I'm cheating on my other phone. Mm. I might keep this one. I don't know. It's only 64 gigabytes.
Sounded like you said kilobytes.
Kilobytes. Kilobytes.
But, so anyway, maybe we'll do a better unboxing video when we get our new iPad.
Ta-da!
But what do you think of the XR?
So here it is. Now I got they have the Cummins in colors, black, white, coral, a light blue, and this is product red. And so I thought, well, I'll get the product red version. Then I realized if I return this, I'm taking money away from AIDS victims. Mm-hmm. So I can't return it.
No. You got it.
It is. Don't you think that's beautiful? I mean, just it's sports car red. Now they're using an aluminum metal edge. And the only thing that strikes me on that is the stainless steel on the more expensive 10R, 10S and 10S Max will be more robust. Aluminum, of course, is going to dent a little bit. Mm. This is going to be a phone you want a case for right away. It's very slippery. Glass back, aluminum edge. This is just destined for trouble. Uses the same Face ID and all the rest. And I was very quickly and easily able to copy the XS Max to the XR using Apple's new setup routine, which we've walked through on previous shows. It really is great. The camera isn't quite as spiffy because it only has one lens, kind of like an iPad Pro, right? But they do a lot of the same things. I've got a portrait mode. In fact, let me take a portrait. Shall I take a portrait of you?
Sure.
All right. Here we go. And I'll do it in natural light. So there we go. That's a nice picture of you. And when I go to edit, you'll see I have all the same portrait mode capabilities. I can change the lighting. I can even do the, oh, that's interesting. I don't get the studio, you know, the one where it's the background's
cut out.
Oh, where
the studio light, where
it's
all black.
Yeah, that's interesting. That might be because it isn't quite, they don't have the two lenses and they are using those lenses. I do get the ability though to drop out the background by changing the f-stop or bring it back into focus, as you can see. Whoops. So some of the features, that's interesting. Not the black and white and not, what do they call it, cinema, where it drops off the back. But you know what? This looks pretty darn good. I think this is a very nice camera. You also don't get the optical zoom with the camera. So, you know, if you're doing a zoom, you're going to be going, you know, the pinch, the old pinch zoom, which merely blows the image up. That's not very good. But most of the other features are there. Video, maybe you can't do, let's see, can I do the, I'll have to go into settings to do that. Maybe you can't do the high frame rate 4K. Although it is the same 12, you know, A12 Bionic processor. So I guess it'd be capable of everything that doesn't require that second lens. You still have, of course, Animoji. This is the same front-facing camera as on the other ones. And it's an LCD screen. But you know what?
Is your notch bigger? Is the notch longer on the
No, it's very similar. In fact, let me open up. Here, I'm opening up my XS Max. Hold on. Take it out of the case, so we were really doing an apples-to-apples comparison. The XS Max I got is the gold. And again, because you have it in the case...
You wanted to use mine?
No.
Okay.
Because mine has the same stuff on the screen, so it'll look
true.
Exactly
I have a SIM question. Did you have to move a SIM from one to the other, or is it...
This one's a Verizon phone, so I just got a new account.
Oh.
I now have a Verizon account. I had a Verizon account. In years gone by, but
that Apple case is just
It's
so
actually
easy.
Good, right? You don't want it to come
out
easily.
Yeah, you don't want it to come out easily.
Right.
That's true.
Oh,
it's
my
so
God.
Soft in there.
That was a lot of work. Okay, now.
Do we need to take a break?
I'm exhausted. Let's compare, because okay. I don't think there's a big difference in screens. Honestly, the left is the XS.
The notch
Max?
Looks bigger to me. Am I imagining that? Is that?
Yeah, because it's an optical illusion, right? It's the phone.
I see.
Is,
I see.
It's
yes.
bigger in terms of percentage of phone screen.
Yes, yes, yes.
This
yes.
is the nice thing about the XR is it's kind of midway between the XS and XS Max. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than the iPhone X, smaller than the Max, and it may be for some people. You should certainly try it. The perfect size, you know, a little bigger than a XR. A little bigger than a XS, I should say, or a 10, but a little smaller than the Max. I honestly think that the screen is fine. I mean, this is, if you had an iPhone for years, you had an LCD screen. I can't tell the difference. Don't you think that looks just as good? Let's look at the pictures of Megan that I just took and compare those. Something better here. Let's see, photos.
Gosh, you and your folders.
Me and my folders. There's Megan on the XS Max.
So do you have 12.1 on these or just 12?
This is just whatever, 12.01, I guess, is the current. Here's Megan on here.
I'm just wondering if it's beauty-faced me or not.
Ah, well, no, I wasn't using the front-facing camera. Oh. By the way, Apple has announced that beauty face is a mistake.
Right, but that's, they're going to fix it in 12.1.
So let's...
I think that my skin color looks more real in the XS Max.
Yeah, actually, it might. It's a little more florid, isn't it, in the...
pink. Or... Yeah. Yeah.
Still can't do, and that's because of the capture issues, can't do the other styles of portrait. Let's do natural light on both
of
them.
Oh, okay. So that was the...
No, they're both the same.
Okay.
They're identical at this point. Yeah, there is a slight difference. This looks a little bluer.
Mm-hmm.
And as you might expect on an LCD. But honestly, you'd have to put these side by side to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You can see I'm gonna break these any minute now. Both have glass backs. That's the stainless steel, and that's the aluminum. I think the stainless steel is prettier. I mean, but in many cases, somebody's called this the iPhone 9. I think in many cases, the iPhone XR is the iPhone 9, the logical successor to the 8 and the 8 Plus. I like the size. The price is right, too. Now, I got the 64-gig version for $750.
Your audiobook is playing on your other phone.
It's just crazy. I have many devices.
Sorry.
They're going insane. I think this, for a lot of people, at $750, 64 gigs, is the best iPhone to get. Now, of course, I immediately got a plastic case to put it in, and I'm going to put it back in that as soon as I can. Find it, because makes me so nervous to have this out of its case, because it's this glass back and the aluminum. But, you know, if you're going to get a case, get a clear one so they can see those beautiful colors.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get the banana phone, the yellow one. I think some people, I think Renee Ritchie might have. I'm very happy with it. The 10R, in my opinion, is a worthy choice, for, even for those who might be looking or might have looked at a 10S. It's smaller than the Max, but you see not a lot smaller. It doesn't, you know, it's LCD, not OLED, and it doesn't have the dual cameras, so it doesn't have the optical zoom. That's the biggest thing you'll miss. But at the $750, it's a beautiful, I think it's a beautiful phone. I really like it. I love the size. So that's the 10R. Man, Apple's making us crazy with these designations. The R stands for nothing, says Phil Schiller.
Never it really stands for regular?
S and R never.
Does it stand for regular?
It's regular.
Real.
The 10 people. Real. The 10.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real. The Ken to 10 Dream Girl edition.
Dream Girl.
Dream Girl.
And then
we need
of course,
to do some research. If I've made that inscription wrong, I'll be.
Okay. I think you put the comma there.
I put a period.
No, you were going to put a period at the end, and then we
I
made
don't
you
understand.
You off. That's true.
I don't understand either.
So I fix it.
Does the case protect the front of the phone? I don't know. Let's drop it and see. No, of course not.
I have a. I've been doing going without a case on my 10S that you bought, and I have this back. What do you call this? A back cover
protector. Yeah,
it just gives it
more texture too, right? So it's not slippery.
Yeah, and I like the look of it. Anthony gave me this.
It's really frustrating that Apple has essentially made, as always, gorgeous phones that are made of glass and slippery.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if you're taking an object off your living room table and just carrying it around in your pocket, hoping never to drop it.
Yeah. I carry mine in my purse, so. But I have never
Is your purse a safe
a
space?
iPhone screen. But I fix it, tore down the 10R.
Yeah.
Very similar stuff inside.
Well, what's interesting, I didn't mention this, but it's important. They pointed out it's got a bigger battery than any iPhone except for the 10S Max. And because of the smaller LCD screen, clearly, and Apple has claimed this, will have the best battery life of any iPhone ever. I have to say, I don't notice a huge difference between this and the 10S Max. I don't run out of juice in either in a day's normal use. But if you wanted the maximum battery life, this would be another good reason because of the LCD smaller LCD screen. I think it's a dynamite phone. I don't think anybody should feel like they're making sacrifices, except for they're saving 200 of their precious dollars.
Yeah, I think I'm regretting buying this.
No, you're not.
Well, because I didn't pay for it. So, but if I had paid,
really,
for
would
it,
you prefer to slightly smaller? Because I could trade you. I'd be glad to trade you.
Really? But then you'd have two of these?
Yeah, I don't really need it. Just don't drop it, okay?
I'm going to wait because...
No, seriously, though, if you want to try this. Now, this is only 64 gigs because I didn't...
Right.
And we still have, you know, you have 2 weeks to return this. Mm-hmm. We still have the option to return it.
I'm hoping that 12.1 will fix some of the problems because just stuff freezes. The phone freezes. Let's see if it works. Yeah, that happens. I just press the phone and that happens a lot.
That's not good.
No, that's my phone.
I think it's Pokemon Go. You should stop playing Pokemon Go. Honestly, I think Pokemon Go does. It's so
really?
Buggy that I think it does cause some problems. Reboot the iPhone and those problems will go away. And what I would suggest is removing Pokemon Go and seeing if that fixes. Because Lisa has exactly the same problems.
With the phone?
Yeah.
Oh.
And
but
honestly
I love my
think,
Pokemon Go.
I know.
I want to catch another Poochyena.
Is there one around? Because if there is, we're going to stop this show right here.
Yeah. It's hard to say that, like... Pokemon Go, you know, if your boss forces you to play Pokemon Go, it's a complicated
I
issue,
did.
Really.
I did. I actually literally did. So I do notice that the iPhone, you're right, it freezes a lot. There's definitely technical issues. I'm hoping 12.1 will fix it. It comes out today. But what, you know, the clear fix for it is to restart the phone and by pressing the, you know, the volume up and the power button and then sliding the power off. And I bet you if you do that, your camera will launch just fine.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's an issue with 12 or maybe a memory leak in some of the applications we use. I'm not sure. I hate to say it, but the one thing in common between all the people who have these problems is Pokemon Go.
Oh, interesting. Well, yes, I will reboot the device. I understand, but then that's not a permanent fix.
Like, no,
well,
it's
if you
a
want to use
fix.
Your phone as a phone, you need to restart
it. Lisa has
it,
a lot of cellular and Wi-Fi dropouts where she just has no data at all. Restart again. Yeah. Sometimes several restarts will fix that. So I don't know if there are hardware issues with these early, because we got them right away. So these are the earliest 10Ss, or if 12 is an issue and 12.1 will fix that. We do know that we'll get, and I'm very excited about this, 70 new emojis, including the revised bagel emoji.
Very excited.
That'll be coming today. Mm-hmm. And finally, you'll be able to FaceTime 32 people at once.
Mm-hmm. So we should excited. Get all of our viewers to FaceTime with us on the show, all 32
of
you.
So I'm now checking just to see, and it does indeed look as if Dream Girl has a comma and no period. Is it too late to change my engraving
no,
order?
I don't think. Check your email because they sent it to you an email. It's Dream Girl.
No.
Dream Girl.
Girl. I'm pretty sure that I got the dream period, girl period. Yep.
Oh, you did?
Which is really going to be dumb.
I bet you could change it.
Although, can you? I don't
funny.
Know.
It's funny either way.
It's already sent off to the factory. I don't like a comma. I think it should be dream period.
Okay. Well, then,
girl
that,
period.
Clearly you wanted it that way because that's how you ordered it, and it's going to make a good story.
Oh.
All right. Well,
I'll try to change it, but you know, I think engraving once you send it in, they've already got the laser.
They're already doing
Miller's
it.
Miller's doing it. They may have already done it by now. There they are, all the girls dreaming. What is that?
What is the dream?
Oh, it's a whole movement. It's the dream, comma girl movement.
What is it? It's a thing.
It's
not something we invented?
That's a thing.
It's probably, what is it, Kevin? Dream?
Documentary. It's a documentary called Dream, Comma Girl.
Okay, great. Well, were you going to say something?
No. If I said it, I'd probably be in trouble.
Wow, this is, mark this down, this is a first. He was going to say something he knew he shouldn't, and he stopped himself. This is amazing. All my
Don't count
I have been
on
dreaming.
It. Your dreams
have
come
finally
true, girl.
Come true. Girl.
So.
Okay, we have questions. We have your questions. We have answers. We might even
news,
have
news. More news.
But,
I mean, that was a pretty news heavy segment.
That was. But so, yeah, we have a
And our
bit,
app caps coming
yes,
up.
Yes, but we first.
I have
talk
a 10R specific app cap. But first.
Privacy.
A brand new sponsor. I don't think we've done this sponsor on the show yet. And I really love this company, privacy.com. This is a way to, you don't use the same password everywhere you go. Gosh, I hope not. You shouldn't use the same credit card number for the same reasons. Privacy makes new credit card numbers, a new Visa card number for every purchase you make online, easy with one click. You download a browser extension from the Chrome Web Store or use the iOS or Android app. You can create new credit cards. The card numbers are locked to a merchant. They're locked to a merchant. So once you use that card, let's say at Amazon, only Amazon can ever use it again. You can set limits on how much can be charged on that card per week, per day, per month, or ever. It is a fantastic. I've been using it like crazy. And you'll want to because you can earn up to 5% cash back. 5%. You'll get a decline email or push notification if a hacker tries to use the card elsewhere. And one other thing I like about this, I use it for all my subscriptions because that way, if I decide I don't want to pay for it anymore, I just pause, freeze, or delete the card. So here, for instance, I'm using it for my Hulu. I guess you could show my last four digits. That's not, but because even if you got this whole number, you couldn't use it. Only Hulu can use it. I also know that my Hulu subscription is $12, so I set a limit of $20 a month. That way, no one can use this for more than $20 per month. These are PCI DSS compliant cards. That's the same security standard your bank uses. Information is encrypted. Oh, did I mention this? I love this. You can use any address you want with the card, any zip code, so you won't be leaking personal information. Information is encrypted using military-grade split-key encryption. Partial keys are held by separate employees, so privacy. No single person, even at privacy, can access the data on the server because it requires multiple keys to decrypt. It's kind of like the nuclear launch codes. You know, you need two employees. And because you can use any billing info you want, your information is truly secure and private. I love it. I love it. Two-factor authentication, of course. The Chrome extension makes it really easy to create new cards every time. Oh, did I mention it's free to use? They will, in effect, pay you with up to 5% cash back. You pay them nothing. Just like any credit card, they get their money from the merchant. Privacy.com has saved customers over $100 million in unwanted and unauthorized charges due to compromised cards, hidden fees, forgotten subscriptions. Now, one thing I want to tell you ahead of time so you're not surprised, it's basically a debit card. It attaches to your bank account or your debit card if you use it. That's one of the reasons it's less expensive. You don't have to pay any fee to use it because it costs them nothing to get the money out. So you aren't going to be paying interest on this card. You know, it pays it right away out of your bank account. So it's not a charge card. It's in effect a debit card. I want you to know that. You can freeze and unfreeze cards, set spending limits per charge, per month, per year. You never have to worry about being billed twice or upgraded without your consent. And it's so great. You don't have to worry about canceling subscriptions or free trials or anything. I am such a fan. I love getting those receipts in the mail. And I always use, 123 Main Street, anywhere USA for my address on here. Why give them any more information, right? It is fantastic. In fact, if a merchant gets hacked, you'll probably know before they do because you'll get the notice somebody's using your card that's not the original merchant. I use it for Netflix. I use it for Hulu. I use it for every single subscription now. When I subscribe to an iOS program, I use it, I just use the subscription card. It's fantastic. I love it. I just can't tell you how much I love this. I've been using it for months, and we've been trying to get them as a sponsor that whole time because I just fell in love with this thing, and now they are. Here's how you get your card and $5 off your first purchase, a little thank you note from us. If you go to privacy.com/iOS, privacy.com/iOS, but really, honestly, just do this for yourself because it's the greatest thing ever. privacy.com/iOS. This is the best way to use a credit card online. It's the only way I use credit cards online.
So
that's how I paid for your iPad.
Awesome.
By the way, there's no limit on that one.
If I say something bad.
Oh, they can't be.
So there are some new aerials in tvOS. Aerials, those screensavers.
I love these screensavers.
I do too. And I learned something. What I realized was that you can see these aerials whenever you want. If you're in the home screen of your TV, you just hit the menu button. Thank you, Scooter X.
Oh, that's a lot easier than the method I showed
yes,
you.
Exactly.
Just going into settings and blah, blah, blah.
So if you want to see, they also label what they are. So you can just tap lightly. You tap flying over Los Angeles International Airport. I wish you could change them.
It would be nice to cycle through. There's some of the ISS ones. Moving southeast over Siberia and Mongolia from the International Space Station. Look at that on the right. You can see the atmosphere.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That thin layer of air that keeps us alive.
So you just swipe on your remote to see all of them.
Traveling along the Nisswa Peninsula in Greenland.
So I sometimes just keep these on in our TV.
Oh, I always keep them on. I love it.
Yeah. It is really nice.
You know what I do? This is probably not approved, and Apple's going to hate me for mentioning it. But there are versions of this for both your Mac and your Windows computer. If you Google Aerial Screensaver, AERIAL, a couple of programmers have made open source versions of this that pull from the Apple servers, so they'll have always the latest Aerial on it.
Yeah, I think I did see an article and maybe 9to5 Mac about how to put them on the Mac.
I like having them. I really like having them on the Mac. They're beautiful and high enough res to do that.
Yeah, it looks like it's not that hard anymore to add them to the Mac. Apple will let you do it now. It says the Aerial app brings Apple TV screensavers to the Mac. So you just get the Aerial app.
From Apple, no.
Yeah. Latest Aerial update.
Yeah, not from Apple.
Not from Apple.
No, this is app. Apple could easily make this not work by just saying no. It has to be a Apple TV downloading these images, but they haven't done that. So
right. It's not from Apple. It's from Apple TV.
Guillaume Luel or John Coates. Those are the guys who did this. It's on GitHub. It is great. I'm a huge fan of the Ariel screensaver. It's actually a reason to get an Apple TV.
I wanted to show you another thing I've been trying.
Oh, what is that?
This is the Spire health tag. Do you remember the Spire?
I still have my Spire. You'd put it inside your pants, and it would then notice how you were breathing.
Right.
It's extremely uncomfortable.
It was extremely uncomfortable, but they have been working on it for a while, and now they're comfortable. So these tags come in sets of eight, and they've been testing them. Let me open this.
You still put them in your underwear? Where do you put them?
I put them inside my bra. Okay. You can put them inside your underwear. They also do sleep tracking.
I don't wear a bra yet.
So,
they're adhesive.
They're adhesive. So this comes out.
And what are they measuring?
They're measuring your breath. They're measuring your exercise. So they come with this suede. This is what is against your skin. So feel that. Take a feel of that. It feels pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's suede.
Yeah, because there's not that much.
Not real suede.
They don't have to cover that much, so it's a pretty expensive material, I think, for what it is.
Alcantara.
So that's what I asked. Is it an Alcantara? Let me show you what it's been measuring. I've been using them for about a week. So I put them in my bra. I don't sleep in my bra, so I put them in some pajamas, too. I can see my resting heart rate, and I can see let's take a look at my stats. How many minutes tense? Let's try. Here's a good day. So it tells me how many minutes I'm focused. So 278 minutes of focus. I was tense for 9 minutes. So that's just according to my breathing. And I was 196 minutes calm. And I had 8.5 hours of sleep.
Nice.
So what I'll give my full review. I've been using it for, you know, you can see that some days it's not tracking anything because I don't have it in all my clothing. But what I really liked about this is, they also go through the wash. Did I mention that?
Oh, so this little that's thing, huge.
So,
okay. That's a kind of key.
They,
I'm going to leave these in my wash.
I've washed them several times and they still work. This sounds like a small thing, but what I really liked is all six paired at once and you don't have to repair them or anything. So you put them on your clothes, you wash your clothes, then you put your clothes back on and you don't need to repair them or anything and they just work. So I think these are more along the lines. They don't have I think they're going to have FDA approval the same way the Apple Watch has FDA approval. So it's not like pacemaker level approval, but it's, you know, small medical device level approval.
Yeah.
Nice. And they've been testing them since the Spire came out, which was, I think, 2015. So they have.
I'm glad to see that they're kind of, yeah. And how much is the, so you get an 8-pack for how much?
It is an 8-pack costs, what does that say?
$100.
No, I think it's a little more than that.
So $199
for an 8-pack, and then you can be a subscriber, which means I think it's like $10 or $15. What does that say? $15 a month, right there, right where you're $10 a month, and then you get a little bit more information, and then they also send you new. So each one of these devices is supposed to last a year and a half.
Oh, okay,
which is pretty good.
Okay,
I'll do a full review probably on the screensavers at some point because
this is the only breathing device I know of.
Yeah. And so they're using it to treat people who might have PTSD or other
how about sleep apnea? Could it tell?
Yeah. I think
that would be useful because, boy, the way that they test for that is annoying.
Right.
You have to go to a hospital and so
forth. It's not approved to do any of that stuff yet, but I think that it could.
It'll do it, but it's not approved to do it.
I think what the thing is, you have all these symptoms, and one of them might be, I'm not sleeping well, but then a doctor could really see, what's really going on.
Right, why are you not sleeping well?
So then a doctor could look at that information.
I have Lisa for that.
So you would put these in your underwear or your bra once you start wearing one, and then you you have 8 or 12 or however many, and then you can tell all these different things.
Nice.
And, you know, activity tracking too. So the Spire.
So I should compare that to my Aura Ring, which does a lot of the sleep tracking, but it can't tell your breathing. But one of the things the Aura does that's good is does body temperature. So you could see, you kind of know ahead of time if you're getting sick because your body temperature will go up. You can also tell if you've imbibed too much or you aren't getting enough
really?
Sleep. And this measures also everything, all the other things, except for breathing. I think the Spire is the only thing that can really measure your breathing, it does that because it's in your pants.
Right. Or a bra. For the bra, yeah, it's like right along your chest. Yeah. So it's.
I do. This is O-U-R-A. We did a full breakdown of this on the new Screensavers a few weeks ago. If you want to see, we talked to the founder and it's got all sorts of sensors in here. I've been wearing this. Because I can wear this at night and I don't mind. It's better than wearing it in my bra at night.
Yeah. Well, I wear it in my pajamas at night, and it doesn't bother me at all.
It doesn't bother you?
Okay. No, it's really soft. You just put it. You just put it in the waistband, and yeah, it doesn't bother you. What I like about it so far is that I will get alerts that my breathing is tense, and more than likely, I am either like fighting with my children,
right,
or on Twitter.
Apple Watch doesn't measure breathing either.
It can remind you to breathe.
It reminds you to breathe, but to measure breathing, you actually have to kind of have something somewhere where you're expanding for your breathing.
And I think that is so important, just to I don't have any anything that any major illnesses, but just like right now, like, I'm fighting with my kids. My breathing is getting tense. Yeah. Like, maybe I should take a deep breath and calm down before I tell them they have to move out.
You don't know
house.
If you're fighting with your kids unless you have that thing in your pants.
No, you know when you're fighting. You know what?
You're getting notified?
Look, my breathing is starting to get tense because I'm trying to convince you of this. Or maybe because I'm thinking about, probably because I was thinking about fighting with my kids or looking at Twitter. But that's how it works. And
see, this is the aura. It doesn't, I wish it did, it doesn't tell you whether your chest is expanding or not, but it does say, it looks like you've been pushing yourself lately, and it's starting to reduce your readiness. Can you take it easy to start regaining balance? That kind of thing, I think, is a little bit useful. It shows you your sleep, but it shows you a lot more metrics than that. I mean, you really can break this sucker down. Here's my breathing. Here's my temperatures.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It's a little more expensive, O-U-R-A, the Aura Ring. I think it's auraring.com. I'm not sure. But I feel like this is another way. I like this quantified self movement, but I wish it did breathing too. Right? Be nice. Yeah.
Well, I think what I like about this is like when you're tense or nervous or whatever, breathing helps. Like when you're fighting with someone.
Yeah, that's that breathe thing, which I always turn off on the Apple Watch.
Yeah, but it doesn't know that you're, but this
right,
knows.
Just says breathe.
So it's like, for me, it's like, oh, I know when I'm feeling anxious, I should just take a deep breath. But when I'm feeling anxious, I can't remember to take a deep breath.
Right, because you're anxious.
Yeah,
right.
So this just like gives me a little buzz and tells me, oh, okay, right, everything's going to be okay. You're not actually being chased by a bear. You're just trying to convince Leo of something.
I think the fight or flight thing is actually a big deal in terms of life expectancy and health. Is that cortisol that gets stimulated by the flight or fight mechanism, and that we don't have any way to deal with, because you're not going to fight and you're not running away,
right?
And so these cortisol levels, I think, are ours. It seems to be indicated in issues with health and longevity.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's in terms of like, I've had sleep trackers and it's like, okay, well, I slept 8 hours.
Yeah. What are you going to do? It's too late.
But I think what their mission really is to connect it to your doctor and have your doctor relate that to other symptoms you're having,
right,
and then be able to maybe diagnose something.
I'm lucky if I can get my doctor to give me a shot a couple of times a year. That's about it.
I like it, and I'm excited about what they're going to do. And I love how easy it was to set up.
I've installed the Ariel screensaver as we were talking on my Macintosh. It is now a brew installable, so you can do a brew cask install, which is a command line utility. It makes it easy to keep it upgraded. So that's pretty. That is, I don't know where that is, but it's a beautiful.
Can you tap on your?
I could put over here so you could see a little bit better.
Says, does it?
I don't know. Does it have a way of... Oh. Oops, that just turns off the
I know you tap the button on your...
I know where that is. That's, I think that's Dubai, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
The famous Golden Gate Bridge across the Straits of Hormuz.
This is ultra suede, by the way. It is actually
ultra suede, which means not suede.
Oh. Interesting. I thought it was better than suede.
Well... Ultra it is suede. If you like cows.
But it's probably not. Yeah, it's vegan suede.
It's vegan
as they call
suede.
It.
Or ultra suede.
All right, should we read some mail?
Let's.
Okay, this comes from Jen. Jen emailed us a while back and said she lives in Houston. It's really hot and her Ring doorbell wasn't working. She said, I wrote to you back in June about trying to find a video doorbell that would work in Houston during the hot and humid weather. I previously had the original Ring doorbell, they are a sponsor, and it wasn't catching motion at all until the weather fell into the low 80s. But on Amazon Prime Day, I bought the Ring Doorbell Pro and it works.
So it was getting too hot?
Yeah, she said it was just too hot.
I wonder if it was in the sun.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, mine's not, so I've never had that problem.
You also don't live in Houston.
Well, but I get over, we can sometimes get over 80s.
But regularly, I think, and humid. It's very humid in Houston.
I don't know if humidity, I bet you if it was in the sun, and you, this is true of your iPhone or any other electronic device, if it gets too hot, like more than, it's not 90 degrees, it's 150 degrees or more, and it can do that if it's sitting in the sun. So it would be my advice, if you have an electronic device like a doorbell or a camera, not to position it somewhere where it's in the direct sunlight. That would certainly impact it.
Well, she got the new Pro, and she says that it works great. She's getting some fun videos of things that happen at her front door. And she said, today is one of those days when the temperature is 85 degrees and it feels like 94. And my Ring doorbell just recorded this cute guy walking by. And we have a little video of this cute guy.
Oh, let's see him.
Walking by.
Cute guy. Well, I mean, it doesn't look like it's in direct sunlight.
No, it doesn't. It does look like Houston. There's the cute guy.
Oh, my. It's a lizard. A gecko. Oh, wow.
Looks
like you look at that's pretty funny.
Because I think we answered her and we were talking about how you can't let, like, good technology will turn off when it's too hot.
Yeah.
Like our owl cam.
Yeah.
That was, it just turns off instead of keeping on when it's too hot because then it'll explode.
Right.
But it's good to know that the Ring doorbell.
You know, it's funny. Amazon has started to do a couple of things and it must be experimental. But I got a text the other day saying your Amazon package is 9 stops away.
Oh.
Show a map. And it showed a map of the truck delivering my Amazon. And it showed it where it was and how many more stops it had.
Really?
And then yesterday, it said your Amazon package has been delivered. Would you like to see a picture?
Wait, this is just regular Amazon?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sure, it's not a
it's special Leo Amazon. And it sent me, I'm trying to find the link. It sent me a picture of my package on the steps.
It was a text message or an email?
It was a text message with a link. And then if I click the link, I could see that my package had been delivered. It was the strangest experience I've ever had. It was a picture of a package on my porch. Now, and I think this is in a response to
people
saying, hey, the guy threw the package over the fence, things like that.
Yeah, or my package was stolen.
Although Sarah told me, or my package was stolen. I didn't get it. Sarah told me that she's had the same text messages. And in one case, the delivery man took a picture of the package on the porch and then threw it over the fence. So I don't know. You know, you kind of relies on the integrity of the delivery person.
It's actually a little, I mean, I order a lot from Amazon, so I'm part of the problem, but it's a little disturbing to see so many driving around, like on Sundays and stuff, it just feels like there's so many, but I really, I also want my packages, so
they're amazing.
Jeff Aruni writes, when watching last week's AppCap, brilliant, I thought of this neat app that I play daily. I thought you might like to take a look. Also, it's called Logic Puzzles Daily by Twin Wizards.
Ooh.
I downloaded it, and I did like it. It is a free app, I believe.
Nice.
And it's
prettier than Brilliant, to be honest with you.
I liked the Brilliant.
Well, I bought Brilliant, by the way, after you recommended it as your app cap.
And then have you been doing
I've been Logic doing. They have smarter? It's really great. They even have a programming track, so you can... Computer science fundamentals, logic.
I think you like because this guy looks like you. That's why you like it.
Yeah, that's why I like it. It's got professor.
So there's daily challenges. So
wrestling moves.
Let's try wrestling moves.
Wait a minute.
Okay, so this is the kind of logic. Okay, the neck breaker, choke slam, and the face buster are just some of the moves that can wipe out your opponent in wrestling. Can you figure out the 5 matches, which wrestler defeated who, with what move, and in what round?
Oh, so they just play a gamifying.
And then it, yeah.
this, but this is one of those logic puzzles. Right. These are fun. I like these. This is kind of like the game Mastermind.
Yeah, so you
I like that.
And then you figure it out.
You did it. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
You figured
this is
it
how
all
I
out.
Like to play it. It's like Minesweeper.
Just keep tapping until something happens.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So well logic done. Puzzles daily. Thank you, Jeff Rooney. I'm smarter already.
Is that free?
It's free. Yeah. Oh. Brilliant is not free.
Brilliant is like expensive.
So
it's like $100 a year.
Try this logic puzzles daily and then you can
the thing about Brilliant, it's much more than logic.
Yeah.
It has math. You know, you can do algebra, geometry, conics and trigonometry, number theory. I mean this is really more an education. Than classical mechanics,
right.
Electromagnetic
school,
fields, quantum objects. Wow.
Spin class.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's the Stern Gerlach experiment. You know that, right?
I want to know the Stern Gerlach
experiment.
Sure,
you experiment. Do. The weird world of quantum physics. Tackle the physics of subatomic particles from the very beginning. Say, thank you for recommending this because it's pretty darn cool. You get to try it for free for a couple of weeks. But I thought, you know what? I need my brain to get better.
Right.
I want to learn quantum mechanics.
Yeah.
From an iPhone app.
Especially now that you've given up Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.
I got nothing to do on my phone. Mm-hmm. I swear.
Once you catch all
I pick it up, there's nothing to do. And there's no Facebook. There's no Instagram. There's no Twitter. There's nothing to do. I pick it up and I put it down again.
Well,
some might say
Go.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I say it's a good thing. There's Pokemon.
That's why I have Pokemon. For those days, there's Pokemon.
Yeah, I've been using the screen time feature to limit myself to 30 minutes.
Oh, let's compare.
Oh, dear.
It's time. You know, we should make this a regular feature of the show.
Let's do, because I've been
limiting
myself.
It's time to compare screen time. Well, my phone's frozen. Thank God. Seriously. You were just talking about how that happened?
Yeah.
Oh, I can swipe to the home screen, but the settings don't.
Okay, so let's go to the.
Well, you have 2 hours and 50 minutes.
I have 2 hours and I'm 15% down from last week because that was because I limited myself
good
on Twitter.
Good job, Megan.
I have a Twitter limit of 30 minutes a day. This last week, I averaged 36 minutes a day, which means I'm pressing that, remind me in 15 minutes, the snooze button. But,
okay. I think you got me beat.
Look, my Pokemon Go is 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's why you got me beat. I average 3 hours, 45 minutes per day.
Whoa.
And most used Pokemon Go, 20 hours and 57 minutes this week.
20
hours? This is for a week.
Whoa.
The next closest, the Apple Store, which I sat on for half an hour through the last episode. Settings, Audible, 24 minutes listening to books, 20 hours playing Pokemon Go. I think I need to, consider my priorities.
Okay, so, yeah, Twitter, I have four hours on Twitter.
Yeah, see.
20 hours? That's a part-time job.
Well, in my defense, you keep it on the whole time you're walking because now this is going to change because Pokemon Go, the next generation, which should be coming soon, will monitor all your activities all the time if you turn that on so you don't have to keep it open. But now you keep it open as you walk and because you're trying to, you get points for miles. So that means I was walking for 21
you,
hours.
When we drove all the way to the city for Pepcom, you had it on the entire time driving there
That's
and back.
That's right, I did. Yeah, that's right. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, he didn't do anything.
That would be wrong. But I did have it on.
You had it on all
So that's where you get 21 hours. Daily average hours is 3 hours a day, daily average.
So why don't you set yourself a limit? Or not.
Well, it's not like, it's a good point because it's not like I'm playing that whole time. It's just on while I'm walking around. So that I'll get, and it's, I do it on the watch too, so that I'll get credit.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Twitter, I just think 30 minutes a day is fine. And also,
I do think that's not so bad.
And I also use it on my computer.
This is, by the way, how couples work it out. Okay, I won't call you on your stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't call me on mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 30 minutes, that's nothing.
Yeah. What about your notifications? What is that? I have 770 notifications last week, about 110 per day.
Wow. 40 pickups a day.
I have 62 pickups a day.
Well, at least I beat you on that. 544 notifications, 77 a day. Most of them Hangouts, which is my text messaging app of choice. Apple News, I read a lot of news. Messages, calendar, New York Times, Maps, and Google News. So I don't, you know, a lot of people disable notifications, but and I do in most apps, but those are the apps I want notifications from. I want news, and I want appointments, and I want messages. So I don't mind that.
But I do like this feature of, you know, if you want to manage your notifications, if you want to like, okay, this is this Hustle, this political app that I use.
Yeah, maybe I don't want those.
I don't want them. And so I'm just going to turn them off. Because like, look, because that how many, there were so many, like 61 notifications. Like, that's too
many.
And
so you can, if you're looking, here, I'll use Google Assistant as an example. You can just. If you said, well, I don't want those notifications, it pulls you right into the notification screen. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
This is Apple's done this exactly right. There's one feature that the Google Pixel has that I like, which is a wind down feature on the phone as it's bedtime. In my case, 10 p.m. It makes the phone black and white. And it turns off. And you don't even see notifications on the screen or anything. You just it's no longer entertaining. And I think that's a really nice way to keep me from picking up that phone. Of course, I just turn it off when I do. But
it's a good way to snoop on my kids, too, because my kids use this.
Oh, you have them linked into your screen time?
Well, I do. Yeah, I do have them linked into screen time here. Nice. Although they've I don't know why I have one child twice and one child not at all. But mostly they're the ones that use this iPad a lot, so I can see, like, they're the ones that use it for Netflix. So like they spent 9 hours last week watching Netflix.
Should I set an app limit for Pokemon Go? Should I say I just can't do it more than
an hour a day?
An hour a day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give yourself an hour a day and just see, because you can always then you see how many times you're snoozing it.
Or two. 1 hour.
1 hour.
Okay. 1 hour. All right. And of course you also want to turn on downtime. Because that does a similar thing, which is only apps you choose to allow and phone calls will be available. Yeah, that's good. And then you see I have we have our son in there, too. Yep.
All right.
Alrighty.
So
I should also say in my defense, I have this is a new phone. I've probably been using this more than I would typically use.
But are you also using your other phone?
Yeah, I have two phones. No, well, I have more than two phones. But
so then how much,
two of these phones.
How much screen? So was that your screen
that
time
was
on
all,
the 10R?
Across all
devices.
Okay. No, you think I was cheating, don't you?
Yeah.
No, I said across all devices.
Was so. I cheat? I go and Twitter on my computer, which I think isn't cheating necessarily, because I think Twitter on your iPhone is more addicting because you're just going like this and you have it in your hand.
Yeah,
and you could be doing anything else. If you're in front of your computer, it feels, I don't know.
You're working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do use Twitter for work. Okay, let's ask another question. Mark writes, I have the new iPhone XS Max and I love it, except for one very annoying thing. As they have talked before on MacBreak Weekly, the modem in the phone is an Intel modem rather than a Qualcomm modem, which was much better apparently, and now where I had a weak signal that still worked well with my iPhone 8 Plus, now I get no signal till I toggle airplane mode on and off. And when I do that, I get okay signal maybe about 75% of the time. Is there any fix?
No, and this is one of the big complaints people have about the XS is these issues with connectivity, especially cellular connectivity, although I've seen them with Wi-Fi as well. I don't know if this is tied to the Qualcomm versus Intel debate. I don't think it is. I think it's just software, and I'm sure Apple will fix this. Maybe even 12.1 will fix it, which should be coming out soon, like in the next few minutes.
Let me see if I can get it.
I certainly hope so. I thought 12.0.1 would fix some of these problems, and it supposedly did, but it didn't fix it for us. So we've seen all these same problems with connectivity, failing or slowing. The Qualcomm modems are faster than the Intel modems. In fact, Qualcomm's suing Apple because Apple slowed the Qualcomm modems down so that all iPhones would have the same connectivity. But I don't think that that's the issue you're experiencing. If you're getting a difference in speed when you reboot or you turn, you know, Wi-Fi off or on, or you go airplane mode off or on, that means that the hardware is capable of that faster speed. I think it's a software issue, and I'm sure Apple will fix that.
Well, I just got the update. 7 minutes remaining.
You did.
And thank you for sending your questions. Send in videos.
We shouldn't do it right now.
We want to see your faces.
ABCAP time.
Send in a video. Uploaded it to YouTube. Send me the link. Send me a video any way you want. And we'd love to play your video questions or comments.
We would.
But now, for now.
Now, it's time to put on funny hats.
It's ABCAP time.
Oh, you cuckoo people. Really?
I don't know. What is this, a train conductor's hat? I don't know. I don't think
that's what that means. I think that's something else.
Is the truck driver thing?
What I don't
does
know.
This mean? Sorry if it means something.
I feel like the Urban Dictionary might know. I don't know. It feels like something
this is
else.
What you do when you want the
no, you're
truck blowing,
you're pulling
to...
the train whistle or the air horn. Yeah. I understand.
All right. We're wearing caps because it's ABCAP time.
Yay! Our picks of the week.
Mm-hmm. And last week, I briefly mentioned an app called LookUp. LookUp. It was a dictionary, which I think I have mentioned before because it's an amazing dictionary. It's very visual. So, do you know, I don't even know how to pronounce this word. Ubiquity?
Ubiquity. I never heard that. It sounds like ubiquity, but without the Q.
The state of existing in a specific location.
But it said we couldn't find it.
I don't know why it's saying that.
That's confusing.
That is really, I didn't even read
is
that.
Is it a word or not?
That's interesting.
Word or not word?
So
umbrage.
Umbrage.
I take
okay,
umbrage.
I don't know why that didn't come up. Let's try ubiquity again. Why did that?
Maybe ubiquity isn't a word. Holler.
I don't know what the deal is with that. But
so normally what it'll do is it'll show you a picture of the word and then the meaning.
Meaning.
But I like it that they have an illustration behind the word, so it kind of helps you remember it.
Right. And if you were like, oh, tell me what that means, I could
It's literally casting shade.
Yes.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I can just send that to you.
Megan Maroney would like to share umbrage with you.
And I'm going to send it to Colleen and
Thanks
Jerry.
For sharing your umbrage. Wow. Wow.
Belie, ramify. I don't know what that means.
Oh, I know what ramify is.
An elaborate system of canals.
Oh, that's
built.
Not what
oh,
I
ramifying.
Thought.
Okay, it's formal technical form branches or offshoots, spread or branch out. An elaborate system of canals was built ramifying through Britain.
Huh. That's not what I thought.
What did you think it meant?
Well, I thought it was related to ramifications.
Ramified.
I guess it is related to ramifications.
It's the late Middle English. Okay, but here is why.
Thinking of reify.
Ah.
Oh.
It's also on your iPhone, and as we showed last week, you can do a shortcut where you can add it to your
good. It's hard
workflow.
I don't often see words I don't know. So
yeah.
That's good.
So,
it's good for, I would like that because I could, you know, learn some new words.
When I see words I don't know, I'm often reading in bed away from my phone. So I have to put my phone really far away from myself when I'm reading, and I have to read regular books, not Kindle, because I get too distracted. Like, I just have to have the book. And then it's the worst because I don't know what a word means, and then I have to get up, or like I have to scream at my Amazon
Kindle
Echo.
Has that built in, which is nice.
Yeah, I know, but I can't do the Kindle.
Can't
I like
it.
The feel of paper books, and I also just feel like I would get distracted by all the other things that Kindle has to offer. But I have the LookUp app right here
my watch. I want this app now.
So I have it as a complication.
Can you Siri it?
Yeah, or you can say, I was trying to figure out what the word exigent meant.
Oh, that's good. So. Those are excuses, extenuating circumstances.
Exigent.
Exigent.
That one didn't work because it just kept saying exigent.
Exigent. That's exactly what it means.
Ramify.
It's to add RAM to your hardware.
Ramify.
I'm ramifying this PC.
Okay, so it didn't hear me. It thought, I thought I said grandma
probably,
something.
Probably because Leo's involved.
I could also write the word ramify.
What's this called? I want to install
Look
it
right
up. Now. I like this.
$3.99, I think. So ramify, and then I can see the word there, and it should give me the definition. See, it's looking it up, and then it says verb, to divide into branches or subdivisions, to spread or diversify into multiple fields or categories. Nice. Ramify. So yeah, I was reading my book
That's
the other day, and
word.
The word hallux came up.
Hallux?
H-A-L-L-U-X. Do you know what that means?
No. Is it hallux. Like Castor and Pollux?
No.
What is it?
It's you break toe.
You break toe?
Your big toe. Your big
toe. My big toe is my hallux?
Your big toe, yes.
Wow.
Hallux.
Hallux. That's pretty cool.
I don't see. Now it says, wow, how, Alex. Folks, that's pretty cool.
Siri doesn't know.
But Hallux.
I installed it. I love this. This is awesome. And I am going to put it on my Apple Watch. What is the word of the day today? That's what I want to know.
I thought it was ubiquity. Yeah.
Let's see. It's Epicurean on mine.
Oh, interesting.
A person devoted to sensual enjoyment.
Why isn't that working? Did you get my umbrage?
I did get your umbrage.
Look, collections found while reading. And I can add this to Siri.
Oh, that's nice.
Show my collections.
Nice.
Show my collections. And
nice.
Now I can show my collections.
You don't seem to have an app named Collections. You could see if the app store
works every time. I didn't really clean up my iPad today. Look up. It works sometimes. That's the best advertisement for it. It's totally worth $3.99.
It's awesome. And if you don't know what numismatist, fractious, precipice, lanyard, or fortuitous mean, you better hunker down and ramify your expediencies.
I just think it's nice to have it on the watch because you don't have to pick up your phone to look up a word.
Right. So earlier today, which seems like a long time ago.
It does, doesn't it?
Earlier today, you may remember I tried to take a picture of Megan in portrait mode and on my iPhone XR, and I noticed there were some limitations on the iPhone XR. Well, the folks at Halide have come up with a way to take away those limitations. We've recommended this before as a great app for your iPhone. It's an alternative camera app, which I highly recommend because it has lots of nice features. But they have added some significant new features for the iPhone XS and XS Max and now the iPhone R. I'm going to give it permission to access the camera and access photos. You noted it has a lot more controls, but it also supports portrait mode. And even if you don't have the dual lens camera, it will do most of the things the XS and XS Max do, including portrait mode of pets. Let me just take a picture of you and see if I can. I'm not sure how to do the portrait mode thing here because I haven't used this. Oh, I'm in manual mode. Let's take a picture of you. All right. I could do a depth map. That's okay. Sorry. So I needed to do that ahead of time. So let me do this again. So turn on depth. There we go. Now I have a depth map. And you can take portrait modes of your... See, I'm in portrait mode. You can take portrait modes of your pets, but I'm wondering...
I'm not your pet.
If it has additional features. Did you notice? That's an interesting thing. That's the depth map information. So it is, in effect, able to capture more of the information. I could do an augmented reality mode, too, and place you in my life anywhere.
So you could fire me and then just put that in there.
Yeah. Tap to place. And now as I move around, Megan's sitting on my iPad. Oh, look at that. Isn't that wild?
That's kind of what they just showed on in the event too.
This is Halide is a really fantastic camera for anybody who uses the iPhone. So I have to play with this on the XR because they've brought back some features that are missing from the XR because of the lack of the dual lenses, including portrait mode on pets, animals. And I didn't take advantage. I should have done that because I should have because I don't have an animal here. So I had to take a picture of you. But
I am not an animal.
I am not an animal. I'm trying to figure out how to get into the portrait mode features here. The editing. This will also shoot RAW, which is really nice. It's a very sophisticated camera if you want. Oh, here's how you change the aperture during the shoot. as well, which is kind of cool. Or the focus, so you can say, I'm going to manually focus this. I should have spent some more time with it on the 10R before I showed this off. But if you want to get some of those features back, Halite has done some really interesting things, including a new RAW format they call Premium RAW. And there you see some of the features. And if you have a 10R, absolutely, you got to have Halide. Halide. How much is that? I think it's
$4.99.
Yeah.
$5.99.
$6. Worth it.
What if you just have the 10S? Is it worth getting?
Yes. Oh, absolutely, because of the Premium RAW and so forth. We were talking about, there's a great blog post by the creator of Halide on the Halide blog that talks about what Apple's doing with the 10S camera. This, which is highly sophisticated, and how Halide is a good adjunct because it can do additional things and expose some of the information the camera's capturing that you don't normally get access to, like the depth map, which is really fantastic. There it is, iPhone XS. Why it's a whole new camera. There are pros and cons on the XS camera, but Halide is a great app to bring back some of those fabulous, useful features. Highly recommended as a second camera app. I think we're out of time.
I think we are too.
We have done a fabulous job, though, in my estimation.
I think we have too.
Yes.
And really, it really only matters what we think.
We do this show for us. Glad you could be here too, though.
Yeah,
no, we wouldn't do it without
here.
You, so we're glad you're here. You can watch us do it every Tuesday morning around 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern time. Now, this is where it gets complicated as we get ready to set the clocks back. We will move. UTC does not move. We're currently at 1600 UTC, but we will be, this is where it gets complicated. I believe we'll be at 1700 UTC starting next week.
Mm-hmm. And look, they changed the picture there, so you're not giving that evil look anymore.
Oh, thank you. So 1600 UTC, 1700 UTC starting next week because we are changing from summertime to standard time.
Mm-hmm.
This Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it this Sunday? I think it is.
Idea.
How exciting.
I'm voting against daylight savings time.
I am too. But actually, you're voting for daylight saving time if you're voting for Prop 7 in California.
Okay, it's voting for daylight saving
time. Yes on 7 means that you wish we could have permanent daylight saving time.
We never change the time.
Well, but we never change it by staying where we are right now. Daylight saving time. Now, this is highly illegal. And in fact, if you read carefully in the proposition, it says 2/3 of the California State Assembly have to approve it. And then it needs the federal government to say it's okay because effectively it's changing our time zone, which is federal law.
Oh.
So I voted yes, too. But it's just a little signal to say we don't like it.
Right, because it causes heart attacks and car accidents, and it doesn't do anything positive.
Right. Nobody needs it. But we're going to do it anyway this Sunday, and we will be at 1700, if my calculations. It also causes Leo's brain to overheat.
Mm-hmm.
1700 UTC.
Also,
You can watch it at twit.tv/live, or listen at twit.tv/live.
And if you're in the U.S., you can also vote next week on the same day.
Please do vote.
Yes.
Election day is Tuesday. And I've already voted with my absentee ballot. I have it in my hands. But I like to go to the polling place on Tuesday and put it in the box. It's
so much
fun.
I'm making my decision on some. I have my absentee ballot.
It's tough in California. We have to do so much work.
And you know you have to flip it over. Is Y on the back?
Yeah.
Okay. But that was like some people forgot to flip it over. I don't know. It's very confusing. Either
voting
right before or right after you watch us, if you're in the U.S., then vote. Early and often, that's what I always say.
Yep. if you don't want to watch this live, you can get on-demand versions of this show at twit.tv/iOS, our website. Again, audio or video. Best thing to do, though, really, subscribe. That way you get it automatically each and every week, the minute it's available. Hot off the steaming PCs.
Mm-hmm. Off the Mac Minis.
Mac Minis. Burning up. Burning up the place.
I guess we got to go because Spire says my breathing is starting to become tense.
You were talking about voting.
Maybe. Yeah.
If you want to contact us, I think you mentioned, email Megan at twit.tv. We like getting your emails. We love getting your videos. Please do that. Make them short, 30 seconds or less. Start with your first name only and your city. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next time on the Cuckoo iOS Today.